So this is how the slave trade works. I show up, I'm a European trader. Do you have kids? How old are they?
30 and 33.
Good, okay. I can give you the money because you're probably not going to take it.
I got grandkids, so.
Okay. this is mostly how the slave trade works. Ship comes up, full of stuff. Sailor takes, the shipmaster takes all his stuff, and he goes to the African trader, and he gives, you're holding on to that too tight. See, I don't know that I can give it to you. I can't get on. Let's just pretend that I've given him all my money. Okay. And you give over your stuff, and sometimes the African trader would leave a few people from his firm or his family with you on the boat as pawns. And then if you're the European trader, what do you think you do? Just find a good seat. Find a place to stand. Wait on your stuff. So it works on trust. It's a business that doesn't operate without an extraordinarily high level of trust. Most places can't keep, and it makes complete economic sense. I mean, suppose that ship out there holds 300 slaves. If you're an African trader, you're going to sit around and have 300 slaves sitting somewhere waiting for a European ship to show up? You could. You might not be in business very long. Right? Because maybe you're lucky and the ship shows up. Maybe you start bulking too early and you got 300 slaves and the ship doesn't show up for a longer period of time. And then you've got, in a business term, wastage. So the more economic way to deal with slaves was to keep some, especially in places like places that had previously dealt in gold and had built slave castles. You might keep some slaves in castles. But then when your ship would come, you would get more. You would bulk them. But in most of Africa, you didn't bulk hardly at all. You took goods, and then you took those goods as a trader, and you sent them into the interior, and you bought slaves with them. Or you went and got slaves, and then you brought them back, and then you filled the ship. And it's a long process. It's a month's process. I promise you, now I'm not joking. Like, there was some stuff wrong with the first slide that was kind of wrong. But this is right, I promise you. This is a highly developed business relationship built on trust and built on folks knowing each other.
I want to ask a question that may be out of place here.
It's not.
I teach this stuff in my survey class regularly. And occasionally I've had black students in class who wanted to challenge me on that. And it can be awkward, you know. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to challenge me the way they challenge you so that I'll know exactly what to do.
Well, they would say, I don't like that, and I'm just teaching that.
Oh.
Because it's beneficial for me to teach it that way instead of telling the truth.
Ooh, that's a good one. You can't stay rich selling your old people. You sell other people's people.
So kin selling kin? You know, you can get it down
in. It can happen that way in a small this a family, this table a family, and you the matriarch, we're going to be the matriarch of this family. Now what might happen in a period of drought, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in this family, and in a period of extreme drought, you as the matriarch of this family may have to make a decision that I can't continue to support all these folks. There's not enough work for them to do. I can't get them out to work for someplace else. If I'm going to keep the majority of this family together, two of these folks, I need someone to take over the feeding of them. And so what you might do is you might take two of your children and you might pawn them to me. I might come to you and say, look, I know you're having a bad situation, and then plus you owe me money already from last year, or you owe me something. So I'm going to take over the care of these folks, and they're going to work for me. And if you're able to pay me in 6 months, everything's going to be good. You might consent to that deal, because if you don't, you might cause greater tragedy to happen in your household. So I might take these folks, but then in 6 months I might come back to you and need you to even up with me, and then you might not be able to even up with me, so guess what happens to these two? They could end up in the transatlantic slave trade. So that happens, but that's not the process. So you see, in a way, you've kind of sold your own people, but not really, right? You just pawned them to me.
Just the intermediary piece is not this.
Right.
And the knowledge base of slavery, if you knew indeed these two kin members were going to go through horrendous.
Oh, no, you might know, but you're not selling them into the slave trade. You're selling them to the big trader in your village who's going to give them back to you in 6 months when you're able to pay what you owe him. But in 6 months, you're not able to pay, and you're not in a position to insist that I give these two family members back to you, so I can do with them what I would. And you might understand that you're taking a risk, and you're a woman of the world, so you understand that there's this place at the coast where you don't want to end up a slave there. But in a period of famine or war, that might be a risk you have to take. Matter of fact, if you did it, it's because you calculated that you had to take that risk. But it didn't turn out well for you. So I want to make the case that I want to illustrate that there are instances where people have to, or they end up separating themselves from family. But that process does not drive the entire slave trade. That's not how all of these millions of slaves are sold. Sometimes it happens this way on an individual level. But that process doesn't explain the entirety of the slave trade. More slaves are made through war, through trading, through raiding, through judicial processes. People get in trouble and they're sold into slavery as punishment, or they're caught in adultery and sold into slavery.